Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Pei, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amid. It says the Mishnah, Kosev L'Shomalka She'en Agenis. If somebody was writing a get in Bavel, and when he wrote the date of the get, he wrote the date according to the Roman monarchy. And the Gemara will explain why the Roman monarchy is considered Malchus She'en Agenis. Or he wrote it L'Shem Malchus Madai or L'Shem Malchus Yofam, not according to the local monarchy. Binyan Habayis, he wrote the date according to the amount of years since the building of the Beis HaMikdash, or L'Churban Habayis, or to the amount of years since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. All of these situations caused the get to be invalid. And the Mefarshim explain that even the Roman date, which is as the Mishnah describes it, a Malchus She'eno Hagenes, very weak date, still disqualifies the get. And the reason being, explained the Mefarshim, because you have to write it according to the date of the monarchy where you live. The Mefarshim debate, what is the reason? Is the reason because doing anything else is an embarrassment to the local monarchy? Or is the reason because we're supposed to honor the local kingdom, and by writing a date for another kingdom, we're not giving them the proper honor? The Meiri points out that Bezman HaZeh, we don't write dates according to the monarchy, and since this is completely out of the custom, we nowadays can write a date, we write the date in the get, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, according to the date of the world. Furthermore, the Rambam says, if one lives in a place where people don't count dates according to the local kingdom, and therefore somebody went and wrote a date in the get, not according to the local kingdom, but according to a different monarchy, even though our Mishnah says that would disqualify the get, nowadays, says the Rambam, the get would not get disqualified, because writing a date according to a monarchy nowadays really doesn't show honor or dishonor. That's not the way it's shown nowadays. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Hoy b'Mizrach, if he was in the east and he wrote the Kosev, and he wrote that the get was written b'Mariv, or vice versa, b'Mariv, he was actually on the west side, the Kosev, and he wrote that the get was written b'Mizrach, the get again is disqualified. The Mefarshim debate, why is this the halacha? Some explain, specifically after we learned in the previous din of the Mishnah, that we have to write the date according to the local monarchy, and we know that different locales have different time zones, so it's important that the date, since it's so important to have a date in the get, and if we're also going to write the long place where the get was written, we could end up with the date being wrong. So it has to, because in Israel, for example, they're ahead in time from us here in the United States, and therefore it's important that the date of the get be there and the specific place where the get was written be there. The Noid Behuda gives a different explanation. He says that the halach is that edus shi'at yochel azima, edim that we can't be mazim, are disqualified edim. What does edus that you can be mazim mean? That we tell the edim, imanu ha'isim, how could you say that you were in this and this place, you were with us somewhere else when the get was written? Says the Noida Behuda, if the place of the get, the place mentioned in the get, is inaccurate, this will remain edish at yachal azima, we can't properly be mazim them, and therefore, says the Noida Behuda, it's important to write the proper place where the get was written. The halacha, therefore, says the Mishnah, if a get was written under such circumstances, the halacha is, she can't get, she can't remain with the first husband, nor if she got married based on this get, may she remain with the second husband. And here we have an understanding of the entire Mishnah and the entire Sugya, a very fundamental machloikis of Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the first get is disqualified midaraisa. And since the first get is disqualified midaraisa, she's still married to the first husband. It's the Rabbanan, and therefore, but the Rabbanan said she should not remain married with him. And according to Rashi, the marriage of the, with the second person is not valid at all. And all the dinim we're going to learn in the Mishnah evolve around that understanding. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says just the opposite. The midaraisa, the get, is a valid get. And therefore, midaraisa, she is considered no longer the ashes ish of the first husband. It's only with Rabbanon that the Rabbanon said that the get is not valid, and therefore her marriage to the second man, which really midaraisa, according to Tosfos' explanation, is a valid marriage, the Rabbanon said they should get divorced. Ask the Mefarshim. According to Rashi, that the get is posel midaraisa, why? The various halachas that we're going to learn in our Mishnah, that the Mishnah identifies pasul, disqualify the get, are all dinim derabbanan. So why would Rashi say that these dinim, the lack of following these rabbinic laws would disqualify the get midaraisa? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that just like we've said many times, called the Mekadosh adata derabbanan Mekadosh, similarly, in the get, the words Kedas Moshe Yisrael are included. And therefore, anyone gets divorced based on the rules of the Rabbanan. And if the Rabbanan said that a get is disqualified, then even midaraisa, that get is disqualified. The Meram Shif says a Chiddush. The Meram Shif says that a get, the halacha, as we just said, is called Mekadosh, adated Rabbanan Mekadosh. Says the Meram Shif, included in the concept of called Mekadosh, adat the Rabbanan Mekadosh, is that if the Rabbanan see fit that a marriage should continue, that marriage must continue. And that's the case here. That if somebody wrote a get that may be valid with the Raisa, but disqualified with the Rabbanan have the ability to say that that first marriage should continue until they want to see it terminated. Others explain, the Pnei Yeshua says another pshat, that a get is typically written by a cipher. A husband appoints a cipher to be a shlich to write the get. The shlichus was that the get should be written properly. And therefore, if the husband did not write the get properly, if the cipher did not follow the instructions and did not write the get properly, the get is disqualified. Dar Sameach has another interesting pshat. Dar Sameach explains that when this woman marries the second man, so like any couple who gets married, what she says as the marriage takes place, the husband says, "Harei at mekudeshes li, kedash Moshe v'Yisrael." And since, as we've been explaining, Chazal did not want that this marriage should take place, because she did not get properly divorced from the first husband, therefore explains the Or Sameach, that's why the second marriage is not considered a valid marriage. Continues the Mishnah. V'tzricha, however, the halacha will be that tzricha get mizeh mizeh, that she has to get a get from both husbands. Vein lo like ksuba, she's not entitled to ksuba, as the Mefarshim explained. The reason Chazal said that a woman should get a ksuba is because we don't want that it should be easy for a husband to divorce his wife. Here, on the contrary, we want to see this marriage terminated, and that's why we don't require that a ksuba be given. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, even according to their opinions, that the chiyuv ksuba by a besula is a chiyuv d'oraisa, the Rabbanan have the ability to take away that obligation. V'loy Paris, nor is there an obligation for Paris. So there's a number of pshatim in how to understand V'loy Paris. Some explain that when the Mishnah says v'loy peiris, we know that Chazal established that a woman should get peiris from a woman should get peiris from a peiris. The din is that the husband gets the peiris and the wife is ransomed if she's kidnapped. That's only in a marriage that we want to see continue. Here, however, since we're dealing with a marriage that we have no reason to see continue, that din wouldn't apply. That's one pshat. Another pshat is like this. The like peiris, that if the husband ate the peiris from the wife's field, the halach is that he does not have to pay back those peiris that he ate from the field. However, the Mefarshim point out, the Rishonim point out, that is only regarding the peiris that he ate before the disqualified get was given. But any peiris that were eaten afterwards, certainly he has no right to take those peiris, and therefore he would have to return if he ate those peiris. V'loy mezainus, neither does he have to support her, as we explained that since we want to see this marriage end. And the Mefarshim ask, isn't this obvious? We want to see this marriage end. Certainly, he doesn't have to support her. So Mefarshim explained that the din of the Mishnah is coming to teach us that let's say we had such a situation, and then the husband died. And we know that normally the din is that if a husband dies, it becomes the obligation of the Yarshim to support the wife after the husband dies until she collects the ksuba. That right that the wife has will not apply here. V'loy belos. Normally, a wife is allowed to take the worn out clothing after the marriage terminates. Here, she may not. And Mefarshim point out what a serious chumrah this is, because the Gemara says in Masechet Ksubos that even a woman who was mezana is entitled to belos. Here, Chazal was so strict and saying that this woman is not entitled to belos. Although there are Rishonim that want to make a distinction between the belos of Nichsei Melug and the belos of Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. And it's only the belos from Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel that she will not receive, but the belos of the Nichsei Melug she will receive. She doesn't get any of these payments, not from the first husband and not from the second husband. And the halacha is imnotla, if she did improperly take mizah, the halacha is taxer, she has to return what she took. If these two men are kohanim, neither of them become vavlad mamza mizah, if she has children from either of these husbands, the child is considered a mamzer. Again, we have to follow the explanations of Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, that the get is not valid midaraisa, so therefore the children from the first husband would be mamzerim derabbanan, and the children from the second husband, given that she's still an Eishes Ish, would be mamzerim deraisa. According to Tosfos, it would be just the opposite. The children of the first, if she went back to him after she married the second husband, would be mamzerim deraisa. Otherwise, it would be mamzerim derabbanan. V'loy zeh v'zeh metamen lo, neither husband may become tamei to her. Here too, the Mefarshim explain that the Parshat Pshat in the Mishnah is that the halach is that a husband is normally obligated to become tamei when his wife dies. Here, since these are marriages that we don't want to see continue, so the husbands do not become tamei. Others explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the husbands are kahanim, that even though a kohen normally is allowed to be metame to his wife, here the kohen doesn't become tame to his wife, which is a difficult pshat, because if the second husband is a kohen, according to her understanding, she's a grusha, and the kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. So besides the issues that are being raised in our Mishnah, he should not be metame to her because he should have never married her given that she's a grusha. So the Mashal explains that what the Mishnah means is that if the first husband is a kohen and the second husband is a Nazir, the husbands are not allowed to be Miktam at Tahar. But the difficulty with the Pshat of the Mashal, asked Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, is that a Nazir anyway doesn't become Tamit to his wife when she dies. So what is the Mishnah specifically pointing out in this case? Answers Rabbi Shua Leib a very interesting Chiddush. He says the din that a Nazir does become Tamei if his wife passes away is in a situation where somebody was a Nazir and then he got married. So the din is that even if his wife passes away, he doesn't become Tamei. But let's say someone married a woman and he was not a Nazir at the time of the marriage. And then he accepted upon himself Naziris. Since when they got married, he was not a Nazir. The halach is that even after that, when she dies, he does become Tamei. Teaches us the Mishnah, says Rabbi Shua Leib. That's in a normal situation. Here, however, where the second marriage should not have taken place, the halach is that this Nazir does become Tamei to his wife. Says the Mishnah further, neither husband is entitled if she finds something, because as we've explained, the Gemara says in Masechta Ksubis, the reason why a husband gets the Metzias Ishtoi, the things that his wife finds, is because there shouldn't be Eva, there shouldn't be any issues between the husband and wife. Say the Mefarshim here, on the contrary, since we want to see these marriage end, we don't have a problem with Eva. They're not entitled to her earnings, even though a husband normally is entitled to his wife's earnings. He's not allowed to be, he doesn't have the right to be made for Hanadarim. Two explanations that I saw. One explanation is because the reason a husband is allowed to be made for the Nadarim of his wife is Kadesh Leitis Ganola, Inui Nefesh, the Nadarim that apply to her personal grooming. A husband's allowed to be made for because they want, the husband doesn't want to live with such a woman. Here, we don't have that situation that the husband, that we're concerned how the husband feels about the wife. Another explanation I saw is because the reason a husband is allowed to be made for the dharma of his wife is because kala hanederes aldas palo hanederes. When a woman makes a nether, she makes a nether assuming that her husband is, that she's doing it with the consent of her husband. But that's only in a marriage where you want them to remain husband and wife. In a situation where you don't want them to remain husband and wife, obviously we don't have the concept of kol hanoideres adas ba'alu hinoideres. Hoy se bas Yisrael, if she's a bas Yisrael, nefselis min kuhuna, she becomes disqualified from the kuhuna. So Mefarshim ask, according to Tosfos, of course she's nefselis min kuhuna. Because according to Tosfos, the first get is really midoraisa, a valid get. And since midoraisa it's a valid get, she's a grusha. And the halacha is that a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. So what's the Mishnah adding that she's nifselis min a kohuna? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the Mishnah is teaching us that besides that she has the disqualification of being a grusha whom a kohen may not marry, she also has on her another disqualification, that she's considered a zoyna. That the halach is that a zoyna, a kohen is not allowed to marry a zoyna either, and therefore if a kohen were to marry her, and we're telling her, we tell the kohen, you're not allowed to marry this woman, she's a zayna, even though we didn't point out that she's a grusha, it would still be an adequate hasra, and he would get the oynish. Others explain, the Mashal explains, that the Mishnah really doesn't include a chiddush when it says that she's disqualified from a kohen. It's only to help us teach the further dinim that we're going to learn in the Mishnah, which are the bas levi, she's a bas levi, she's not allowed to eat meiser. So Tosfos points out that this is probably following the opinion of Rameya. Because there's a machloikis Rameya and Rabbanon if a Yisrael is allowed to eat Maiserishin. Rabbanon say that anyone may eat Maiserishin. Rameya says that only a Levi may eat Maiserishin. So Tosfos says, our Mishnah is teaching us that according to Rameya, this woman becomes disqualified and therefore she may not eat Maiserishin like anyone who's not a Levi. However, Tosfos says, our Mishnah could be explained even according to the opinion of the Rabbanon. Because even the Rabbanon who hold that a Bas Levi is entitled to eat Maiser, that's only Maiser that she gets from a Levi. But this woman would not be entitled to go and ask or collect Meiser, given that she has become disqualified. Bas Koyin, and if she's a Bas Koyin, that the halach is that a Bas Koyin, if she has no children, if a marriage terminates, she's allowed to go back to her father's home to eat truma. This woman who became disqualified may no longer, the Torah uses the word v'nitma 3 times to teach us that she's not allowed to eat truma. Ve'en yarshim shalzeh ve'ershim shalzeh, neither yarshim ksubasa are obligated to get her ksuba. So Mefarsh Master Gemara Be'emes speaks about this Masechta Yevamos. We already learned earlier in our Mishnah that this woman is not entitled to ksuba. So if she's not entitled to ksuba, obviously her yarshim don't collect the ksuba if she's not entitled to one. So the Gemara answers that we have learned many times about the concept of ksubas benin dikrin, which means that if a wife dies before a husband, the halacha is that the wife doesn't get the ksuba, but when the husband ultimately dies, the ksuba payments are given first to the yarshim, and then what's left over is divided as yerusha. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that by this woman, the din of ksubas benin dikrin will not apply. V'meisu, and if either of these husbands die without children before they divorce her, the halacha is she's never a candidate for yibam, she's only a candidate for chalitza. Again, if we follow Rashi's explanation of the Mishnah, the first husband is her real husband, yet Chazal say that she should not take yibam from his brothers, only chalitza. According to Taisus, and the second husband, it's only Xer because people may think it's a real husband. That's why we require Chalitza. And according to Taisvis, it's just the opposite. Says the Mishnah, Shina Shemai Ushma. If the Seifer did not write the name of the husband and the wife properly. And the Rishayim discussed, why is it so important that the names of the husband and the wife be written in the get? So I saw 3 explanations in the Rishayim. One is, as we've been saying, the get has to accomplish krisis. It has to accomplish a total separation between the husband and wife. And the only way we have a krisis is if the husband's and wife's name are clearly written into the get. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is because, as we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, a crucial element of the validity of a get is that the get was written l'shma. And only if the names of the husband and wife are included in the get, do we know that the get was written l'shma. And the 3rd explanation is that we following the opinion of Rameya, who holds edich simakarati, the signatures are what make the get a good get, and the signatures have to be on a get that has the names of all the parties. Ask Tosfos, if the halacha is that the names of the get, as we just finished explaining, are so essential to the validity of the get, so why does our Mishnah have to speak about changing the names? The Mishnah could have even said, if the names were omitted, the get is possible. Answers Taisus. What our Mishnah is speaking about is the following case. We have individuals who are called by different names in different places. They're called in Gaul by one name, and in Yehuda by another name. And the get was written in Yehuda, but the name that was written in Yehuda was the Goel name. So this is a real name for this man. This is a real name for this woman. Maybe we should say that the get should not become disqualified. Still teaches us the Mishnah that the get becomes disqualified. Similarly, teaches us the Mishnah, Shem Eroi, V'Shem Ero. If the names of the cities were changed, Teitze Mizeh Mizeh. And here too, there's a machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim suggest that it's worse if you write the wrong name of the city than if you don't write the name of the city at all. Because specifically there are Rishonim that suggest, especially nowadays where Jews are a wandering people, they don't have a specific place where they always are, the name of the city is not crucial. But if the wrong name was written, it's worse. There are other Rishonim who ever say that the writing of the name of the city again is absolutely essential to the validity of the get. And again, what's the Mishnah speaking about the names were changed? So I saw 2 explanations. One is, again, where the city is called by different names in different places. And the person who wrote the get in one place used the name of the city. It's a name that that city is called by, but not in the place where the get was written. The get becomes disqualified. Others say that it was very common that there were names of the cities that were called, the Jews called names to cities by one name, by a Jewish name, and others called them by a non-Jewish name, and that the get has to be written with the way the Jews call the name of that city. And the Mishnah is teaching us, if the non-Jewish name of the city was written, the get is possible. That the, and the halacha would be, teitz mezeh mezeh, v'kal dvarachim eluba. We learned at the beginning of Masechta Yevamos, that if someone dies without children, his wives are candidates for Yibam Mechalitza. However, let's say we have Reuven and Shimon brothers, and Reuven is married to Rachel and Leah, and Reuven dies without children. If Rachel is not allowed to have Yibum to Shimon because she's an Erva, she's a relative of Shimon, not only is Rachel exempt from Yibum Mechalitza, but her Tzara, Leah, is also exempt from Yibum Mechalitza. That is what we learned in the beginning of Masechta Yevamos, the din of a Tzara's Erva. Says the Mishnah, Kol Arayish Amritzer Hasein Mataris. In all situations where we said that a Tzara is not going to be required to have Yibum Mechalitza, and therefore, Holcha Tzara's Eluv Nesu, based on that, the Tzara, Leah, went and married someone else, and then Venimtsu Islandus, and then it turns out that Rachel is an islandess, so her marriage to Reuven was never a marriage, and therefore Leah should have had Chalitza or Yibum from Shimon, and instead of having Chalitza from Yibum from Shimon, she just married someone else. The halacha is that Leah Taitzim Mizah cannot remain with the husband she married, nor can she go back to Shimon to have Chalitza Yibam from him, to have Yibam from him, the Kol Drachim Eluba, and all the dinim we learned earlier apply. Another din, Hakainis Es Yevimta, if somebody marries his Yevama, V'holcha Tzarasa V'nimtzas Lachar. Again, Reuven was married to Rachel and Leah, Shimon went and did Yibam with Rachel, and then Leah went and married someone else, and then V'nimtzu Zu Shoyis Ailness, and then it turns out that Rachel was an Ailness. So since Rachel was an islandess, her marriage to Reuven was never a marriage, her Yibam to Shimon was never a Yibam. And Leah should have had Yibam from Shimon, but instead of having Yibam from Shimon, she married someone else. The halacha is, Taitzim Mizem Mizeh, she can't remain with the man she married, and furthermore, we call it Drachim Eluba. Cause of Seifer Get L'Ish, V'Shav L'Isha. A person commissioned a Seifer to write a get for his wife, and to write a and the wife commissioned the Seifer to write a receipt. Because typically what happened was that the husband would give the wife the get and also pay the ksuba obligation that he owes her, and the wife would at that point give him a receipt. And what happened here was the Tavanosan, the Seifer got mixed up and he gave get Leisha v'shoivelish. He gave the get document to the woman and the receipt document to the man. And they didn't review the documents they received. The din of this Mishnah is teaching us that a person has to always review what he receives and what he gives. Lachas man, and after a time it turns out, haray get yoytz miyadish, it turns out that the husband is holding on to the get, v'shoiv miyadisha, and the wife is holding on to the receipts. Taitz mizemizeh, so the wife was never divorced. She never received the get. She received the shoiver, totally meaningless document. So she was eishes ish, and therefore she can't remain married to the second husband, nor may she go back to the first husband. The kol drachim eluba, and all the dinim that we learned in the Mishnah apply. Says Rabbi Elazar Omer, when does this din apply? Im la'alta. If immediately after they got divorced this happened, then the din is yotza. If this was discovered immediately, the Gemara will explain what does immediately mean, then the halacha is ein zeget. However, if this happened only after a while, harei zeget. Then the get is considered a get, because we don't trust the first one. We're concerned that the husband and wife, the original husband and wife, teamed up to say this lie, to say that this is what happened. Ask the Mefarshim, what would they gain with this conspiracy. He can't take her back anyway because of the situation of Machzor Grusha Asoy. So I saw two answers. One answer is that the husband and wife don't know that din. They think that they'll be able to get remarried, and that's why they did this, not knowing that they're not accomplishing anything anyway. Another explanation that I saw is that sometimes the husband and wife, even though they can no longer get remarried, the situation of Machzor Grusha Asoy, they still have a decent relationship, and this woman wants to figure out a way to get out of a second marriage. She's unhappy with a second marriage, and a second husband refuses to divorce her. So she makes this conspiracy with her first husband in order to be able to get out of the second marriage, and that's why we don't believe it. So the Mishnah spoke about a get dated to Malchus Sheino Hagenis. Ask the Gemara, who is the Malchus Sheino Hagenis? Says the Gemara, Malchus HaRomim, the Roman Empire. For my Carly Malchus Sheino Hagenis, why does it get this title? Says the Gemara, Shem Deim Lam Loi Tsav Loi Loshen, they don't have their own language or alphabet. Everything they have is really something that they took from other nations. And I saw the Mepharshim explain. We know that there are Ayin Umayis, there are 70 nations of the world. Each nation of the world is controlled by a different Malach in Shemayim. However, and that Malach has an independence to the degree that every nation has its own language, its own alphabet. However, Rome is not controlled by a specific Malach. Rome is controlled by Samoil, by the Sultan, who isn't considered an independent Malach in Shemayim that has his own language. Amar Ula, so Ula says, why did Chazal say that we have to put in the date of the local monarchy in the get, that's how we give them the proper respect. Ask the Gemara, and because we wrote a different date, it's so serious that the child will be a mamzer and she has to get divorced? Answers the Gemara, in. Absolutely. Because Ramela Tamei, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameya, Domar Ramununa Mishmu de Ula, Mishmei de Ula, Oimahei Rameya, Kala Mishanam and Mitbeja Tova Chum Begitin, whoever deviates from the halachas that Chazal said regarding Hilchos Gittin, Havlad Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer. We learned other examples of improperly dated Gittin, L'shem Malchus Yavam, L'shem Malchus Madai, etc. Says the Gemara, why does the Mishnah have to go through every one of these examples of improperly dated Gittin? Says the Gemara, Tzricha. The issue in the Malchus Sheino Hagenis, if we mention that the get was written to the Roman Empire, that's why the get is invalid. Mishum de Malicha, that the Roman Empire still exists, and therefore it's a terrible embarrassment to the local monarchy if we're using the Roman Empire's date and not their date. Ava Malchus Modai Malchus Yovim. These kingdoms that no longer exist anyway. So mentioning using their dates as the gate of the get should not really be considered an embarrassment to the local monarchy, because Maida Hava, they no longer exist anyway. Teaches us the Mishnah, since someone is mentioning another monarchy, it's considered an embarrassment to the local monarchy. They may not longer exist, but they're at least monarchies. Our binyan abayis, the building the base of Migdosh, may the hava, and therefore it should not be considered an embarrassment. Teaches us the Mishnah that even that's considered an embarrassment, because the goyim look at it as a terrible thing. The Jews are looking for their own monarchy and not ready to serve themselves to the local monarchy. V'yashmin binyan habayis. The Jews are speaking about their glory, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Avachumra Bayis, the destruction of Bayis, which doesn't really represent anything of great honor. On the contrary, Saruhu, it represents something that causes suffering, which the Goyim don't mind if we remind ourselves of our suffering. Emaloi, that should not be a disqualification in the dating of the get. Tzricha, that's why the Mishnah had mentioned each and every one of the cases as a disqualification. Said the Mishnah, Hoy b'mizrach v'kosvim marav. If he was in the east and he wrote that the get was in the west, or vice versa. Asked him, Raman, exactly who are we referring to? Ilema, Baal, it was speaking about the husband, and was saying that the husband came from the east, and we wrote that he came from the west. Isn't that already mentioned in the Mishnah? That if the city of the husband and wife were not properly mentioned in the get is disqualified. Elalav is referring to the cipher. That it has, the get has to properly indicate where the cipher is writing the get, and if it's written in the wrong place, the get becomes disqualified. When you're writing a get in Shili, ksuva b'shili, you have to be careful to write that the get was written in Shili. Even though you got instructions to write this get in Hini, you have to write where the get was actually written, not the name of the city where you got the instructions. Similarly, if you're writing a get in Hini, even though you got the instructions in Shili. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara is that Shili and Hini were two cities that were near each other. And even though they were near each other, it's still crucial that the proper name of the city be written, nothing else. Mefarshim, the Paiskim point out a very important din, la loch lamaisa. There are many wedding halls. The case that I saw the Paiskim discuss is that there are wedding halls that are right next to certain cities, but if you look into the boundaries of the cities, you look into which municipality they belong, they're really in a different city. For example, the case that I saw was that they're in Eretz Yisrael, the cities of Bnei Barak and Ramat Gan are neighboring cities. And there's a wedding hall which is right on the border of Bnei Barak, but really, if you follow the borders of the city, that hall is really in Ramat Gan. And it's very important that when the get or ksuba be written, the proper city be written. And therefore, many times when they have these wedding halls, the invitation and the rav who's being mitzadded the ksuba may write Bnei Barak, which is totally wrong because it really is part of a different municipality. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zu Divrei Remeya. What we learned in our Mishnah represents the opinion of Remeya that is makbid, that the way to, that is careful how to get should be written. Even when he wrote the date, he wrote it according to the local land registrar. From when he took office, Harez Megreshus, it's a valid get. Says the Gemara, there was a get that was written according to the years of the governor of Bashkar. Sholoch Rav Nachman Bar Chizdal Kamei Derava, Kigavna Mai, what will be the din regarding this get? Sholoch Lei and Rabbi responded, Baha, I feel Ramei Moider. Ramei would even agree that this get is a valid get. My Tama, because Moise Machasu, he is the local governor, and therefore it's not considered an embarrassment writing his name. Asked the Gemara, if so, why did the Gemara say, Maishna Masnata Shabir? Why do we say that when you mention the name of the registrar of the city, that the get is disqualified, according to Rameya? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Zilul Milsa. The registrar of the city is not a significant position, and therefore using his name in the get is considered improper. Hacha Shvichla Milsa. But the governor is a significant position, and therefore Rameya will agree that the get is a good get. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba, Amar Avhun, Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rameya, that Rameya held that if it's not dated according to the local monarchy, the get is disqualified. Avil Chacham Raimrim Havlat Kosher. Umaydim Chacham Rameya. However, the Chacham agreed to Rameya. Shem Shino Shma Vashem Ira Vashem Ira. That if the husband's wife or wife's name or their city's name, there they will agree Shavlad Mamzer. In other words, Rav holds that the Chacham are only lenient regarding the dating, but they're not lenient regarding the misnaming of the principals or their cities of the get. Amar of Ashi, Afanan Namitanina, Shina Shma Yushma, Shem Ira Vashem Ira, everybody agrees, Taitz Mizah Mizah, because Drachimba. Because Haman Ktanala. That was what we learned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, who was saying this rule in the Mishnah? Ilem Rameya, if we're going to say that this rule represents the opinion of Rameyah, so Rameyah was the Tana, as we identified, of the first part of the Mishnah. So why is the Mishnah broken down into separate cases? Lirvinu v'lasninu. All of the cases in the Mishnah should be mentioned together, and then the halacha should be mentioned. The fact that the Mishnah breaks itself down into separate cases is shmami or rabbanan. That even though the rabbanan don't agree with Rameyah regarding the first din in the Mishnah, regarding the dating of the get, they do agree regarding this din, if the husband and wife's names were not mentioned properly, that the get is disqualified, shmamina. So we learned the din of Kala Raisha Amru. We spoke about the woman who had the improper Yibam or Yibam when she shouldn't have had it. Says the Mishnah, Nisuin. Our Mishnah spoke about the Tzara getting married when she shouldn't have gotten married. That, and then the halach is that she has to leave her second husband. But what about Zinu, if she had relations with another man? That would not cause a disqualification, that she should become disqualified to marry the Yavin. Lame to have it to Yavin to the Rav Nuna. Ask the Gemara, shouldn't this be a refutation of the opinion of Rav Nuna? Domar Rav Nuna, Shemeres Yavim Shadzintzav, Shemeres Yavim had relations with another man, Asur Liyavma. And as the Mepharshim explained, usually it's only Rav Akiva who holds that if a person was over and is alive, they're not allowed to go back to the husband or to the Yavam. Here, no, I'll go back to the husband. Here, only the Rabbanah holds only by Nissa Krisis. However, here, Rav Hamnuna holds that even regarding a Yavam, if Yavama has relations with another man, she's treated like an Ish who committed adultery, and she's not allowed to go back to her Yavam. So our Mishnah, which speaks specifically that she got married to another man, but not that she only had relations with another man, seemingly doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Hamnuna. Says the Marloi, really nisu v'hu adin lezinu. It would be even if she had relations. So why did our Mishnah speak about specifically her getting married to another man, if the same thing would apply if she just had relations with another man? Says the Marloi, lishnam alyan nokat. The Mishnah wanted to use a nicer terminology than saying zinu. However, ikadamri, nisu, vodin lezainu. The same thing would apply if she had relations with another man. If so, lehem messiah lehem Rav Hamnuna. Our Mishnah should clearly be a support for Rav Hamnuna's position, that if a shameris yavam has relations with another man, she may not ever get married to the yavam. And it says, dom Rav Hamnuna, who holds, as we just said, shameris yavam shazinsa asur leivama, says, dom Raloi, nisu dafka. Only if she got married to another man is the halacha that she may not get married to her yavam. Only in that case did Chazal make this rule. Mishum the michlfa v'ishal balam dinas yom. The Gemara Masechta Yavamis discusses that if a woman's husband disappeared and an aid echad says that he died, the halacha say that halacha says and then she gets married to a second man, and her first husband comes, she's not allowed to go back to the first husband, even though she was really an oinus. She got married to the second man by mistake. Still, Chazal say that she shouldn't go back to the first husband, because people shouldn't come to believe that a machzor grushasoi, that someone can marry his wife after they divorced. Says the Gemara, the same concern applies only when this Yavama married a second man. And that's why we're going to be concerned that she married a second man, she could go back to her Yavam. However, had she not married a second man, but she simply had relations with another man, there's no reason for her to become usher to the Yavam. Because people don't know if she only had relations. People won't know that she had relations. It's not something that's typically publicized, and we're not going to come to make the mistake that a machzor grushasoi could go back to her original husband. So we learned in the Mishnah two examples of an improper yibam, hakonis yivimta. And the Gemara focuses, why do we have to have this din mentioned twice? Tzricha. Dishvim hakamaisa, if the Mishnah only told us the first case, where the yivama got married on the misimpression that she's the tzara of an erva, because in this case, loy kaima mitzvah yibam, the entire mitzvah yibam was never fulfilled. Ein meloy. Aval Hocha, but in the second case, the Kaim of Mitzvah Yibam, where the Mitzvah Yibam was fulfilled, because in the second case, the Yavam thought that he was fulfilling the Mitzvah Yibam with this woman, Emeloi, maybe she should not be penalized. Vice versa. V'yashmina Hocha, if we only spoke about the second case, Mishum the Karam Yukamei, she really is supposed to have Yibam. Aval Hossam, the Loiram Yukamei, in the case where the Amana got remarried on the impression that she thinks that she hasn't fell into Yibam at all, because she thought that she was a Tsaras Erva, maybe like, maybe we shouldn't make any penalty, Tzricha. Kasva, Saif of Ta, Nothing Gatlish Vishaiva, Rebeleza Oimer Laalta Yotza. So the Gemara asks, Hechi Domel Alta, what's considered immediately? Hechi Domel Akhzman, what's considered later? Amrav Yehuda Mishmu. Kazman, Shiyoshim Vaiskin Vaisinian, as long as they're still dealing with the matter of divorce, Zel Alter, that's considered immediately Omdu. But if they stood up and they stopped discussing the divorce, Hanu Lachazman, that's considered Lachazman. Rav Adbar, Hava Amma, Loi Nisis, if she didn't get remarried yet, Zel Alter, that's still considered immediately. Nisis, but if she already got remarried, Zel Lachazman, that's considered Lachazman. Ask the Gemara tonight. The Gemara asks on Shmuel's opinion. The Gemara says, why don't we trust the Malachas man? The Mishnah said, why don't we trust the Malachas man? Because Loi Kali Menem in Arishin Labet Zchusa Shasheni. Bishlam El Rabba Ba'ada Ba'ava. That once she got married to a second man, Hana Dukhtan Shasheni. Now we can understand that there's a second man, and that's why we don't trust the first husband to hurt the relationship, to affect the marriage of the second man. However, El Shmuel, that says that la'achas man means as soon as they stop discussing the get, my sheni, they just stop discussing the get, but did she didn't get remarried, so why is the Mishnah speaking about the second husband? Answers the Gemara, what sheni means is z'chus haruil sheni, since she had the right to get married at this point to second man, and therefore we don't trust the first husband to affect that right by saying that he did not deliver the get, he only mistakenly gave the shayfa.